I was going to say that, you know, the biggest victim of the coronavirus in many ways is our humanity, right? I think, you know, we are not able to touch each other, not even to see each other. You know, what really makes us an evolved species is our ability to communicate verbally, non-verbally. And like, you know, the sense of touch and the texture we give to each other. And I think Zoom can connect us, but it doesn't connect the complete us right now.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. We've been having these, like, you know, dinner guests over, you know, on FaceTime or Zoom. And, you know, there's this shared moment where it's like, I could see you. Just like, you know, when you came on the Zoom right now, it's great seeing you. But then, you know, after a few moments, you're like, fuck. Like, because there's no date where, like, all of a sudden, you know, like, this is the definitive moment where things change and I'm going to go meet you at Land's End and we're going to go make some photos together. Like, there's no, I can't say I'll see you on May 15th. We just don't know. And I think that's, so you go from, like, euphoria of seeing your friend to, like, this next level of realness.
Yeah.
Or reality setting in.
I think this is what is the biggest challenge right now is how do you contextualize your existence? I think a lot of us are turning to Zoom, but that's not enough. Like, that really is not enough. And, you know, I don't mind the isolation as much, but like not seeing other people is like, can be a little tough.
For sure, for sure.
And
are you in San Francisco, by the way?
I
should have asked you at the top. Yeah,
I am, and I assume you're in your home office and with the family.
Yeah, I'm with the family, and I'm worried about you, man. So you're living alone, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have enough food for a couple of weeks. I've, you know, things like I'm okay, as good as it can be in this day and age. I think I'm more fortunate than many other people.
Yeah.
I think we all, you know, should be grateful for what we have. There's a lot of people who are dealing with this and they don't have anything, you know, and where they have to work and they have to deal with the reality of being, you know, exposed to this virus. You know, I'm just thinking about, you know, emerging economies like India where people don't literally have water. I don't know how they're going to afford soap to wash their hands. And, you know, our inconvenience is so small compared to huge part of this human race, which can suffer in the process. So it's definitely a reality check for all of us. You know, I wonder, that one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was like, you're a thoughtful guy and you always think about other people before yourself. I how do we come out from this as people? Do we become out better? Do we evolve as a species, or we just go back to being the consumerist assholes we've been over the last 25, 50 years?
Yeah, I'm losing track of the days for sure, but Dave Weiner had a tweet yesterday, day before, last week, I don't know. But in recent days, he had a tweet that said, like, are we going to want to survive this? You know, like, it was something to that effect. I think the sentiment was like, you know, if there's that much human suffering across the board and things are a shit show with this, you know, people that like survive, like, you know, most people, but like the world is like in a horrific place from a economic standpoint and human suffering standpoint. Are we going to be glad we survived? That was my take from this tweet. It was a short tweet. I didn't read his blog if you wrote something expanded on it, but you could feel the trauma in the tweet. I mean, I felt it. Like I definitely felt it. And it would be a lie if at different moments in the last week I hadn't had some level of like despair where you see like 800 people die in Italy yesterday or something. Like you can't even you can't get your head around this stuff without, you know, wanting to cry your eyes out. But I think that I do have this like belief. I do that may change, but I do hold on to this belief that like we're going to come out as a more compassionate society. I mean, I'll give you an example. A month ago, people were saying that Bernie Sanders was like a danger to humankind for trying to provide like healthcare for all people. like we've gone from demonizing that notion to as a country saying like we have to take care of people. Like, so I think your question is this going to fade away the sentiment, or is it going to be stronger or linger, or what's the prediction on that? And I kind of feel like I feel like a bit's flip. It's almost like the negative version of like 9/11, where this bit flipped around this nationalism. Like after 9/11, there was like American flags on NBC and broadcasting, and there was this like drumbeat to war, and we got to go, you know, get the bad guy, whoever they were. And like the whole country kind of changed and said, you know, Patriot Act was acceptable and blah, blah, blah. And I'm hoping that like the compassion bit flipped, and now suddenly like things like, you know, whether it's UBI or whatever, like there's just this a different notion of like taking care of each other, because we have now really exposed this country for what it is, where like there's a tiny group of people that have like all the wealth, and most people are living in a crisis mode without the crisis. Now it's horrific. So I believe that. I don't know what you think, but I believe it.
So, you know, if the outcome of this virus is, which is killing our humanity, is humanism, I think it is an acceptable price to pay for such a, you know, massive pandemic. Because as a species, we were getting so far apart from each other. We were not thinking about the collective, and we were thinking about being so individualistic about everything, you know, and that came to forefront. It's like those idiots who were in, you know, Miami having spring break, and, you know, or the rich people in Westport having their party and becoming the party zero, according to New York Times, or any of those incidents, right? Like you just kind of see that as a society, we've become so narcissistic, so self-centered, so obsessed with being consuming everything, that we forgot that our greatest power is us.
Right.
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 You realize we have to respect the teachers a little bit more. Right. I mean, just imagine you have to deal with your kids for like 3 weeks every day. That should tell you why you should pay the teachers more. Even if you think of them as glorified nannies, you still have to pay for that privilege.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Grocery workers, factory people, nannies. How about nurses? Like nurses, like are like warriors right now, right? I mean, you saw those iconic photos out of Rome with the nurses with yeah. I mean, like that's as badass as it gets. Like, and their compensation is it's pretty brutal.
I just don't get that. Like, I think forget like which side of the argument you're on, how much money you have, what political stripe you wear. But at the end of the day, you know, if anything we are seeing, it's the little people who make up the society, not the rich people. Yeah. And yet, like a rich rapist in a prison gets a coronavirus test before some poor person. And it's like, that makes no sense to me. And right. That essentially is exposing what's wrong with
right.
with our society, especially in this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's like, it's definitely something which is making my, you know, blood boil a little bit.
I get it. I saw a tweet that like another tweet that's like, hey, if you want to check if you have corona, like you should cough on a rich person.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that, but that's a great idea.
I mean, it's dark, but like I get the sentiment for sure. I mean,
yeah. So, talking about the sentiment, how do you read the environment right now? Now, you and I both work in the world of startups. Yeah. So, how do you think you know, how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a damn good question. I mean, I think the answer is changing rapidly, but, you know, you saw, you know, the beginning of a mountain of layoffs coming with a lot of companies did layoffs yesterday, made a lot of headlines, some big tech companies. It's clearly only the start. So there's going to be a lot of changes in that, in how companies, you know, like, I think layoffs are going to be, you know, it's just going to start ramping through the summer. I think we're headed for like a pretty big recession. I think hiring is going to be really difficult because hiring over video conference is like every CEO I've talked to, like even the ones that want to hire, they're kind of stumped on how to do it. And like, will the candidate want to work in for the startup in a video conferencing thing in a world where the world is so volatile? Or is this going to be like this, like their safety of joining Google and Amazon and, you know, like will people want to work for startups? So I think the next 6 months are going to be, are pretty tough. I think it's going to be in some ways like what we, you know, a worse version of like the 2000 crash, not the 2008 problem. Like you and I saw the 2000 thing. And in my memory, that was way worse than the 08 one for, in terms of the startup ecosystem. And I think this is going to be worse than that one from just purely narrowly looking at, you know, our small corner of the universe.
Yeah. So what are you telling your founders, your, you know, the Spark Capital startups, like what are you guys telling them?
Well, for the ones that raised money before, you know, February, we're saying, hey, you know, you raised money on a plan, and you closed your round before February. So that's the good news. The second part though is your plan doesn't work anymore. Like that plan is no longer valid. So you don't have to hold the sacred view that you raised money on this plan. Like it's you know, it's the good news is you've got cash, but now you got to go do the hard work and come up with a new plan. And so I don't have a blanket formula of like, oh, cut your burn in half or assume it's going to, you know, but I think the part that we start really digging in is when, you know, CEOs say, you know, we're good. Maybe we'll have a 10% hiccup, but otherwise we're good. That's when I tend to get a little bit more energetic. But anyway, that's that category of companies. The companies that are, you know, have a year of runway or less, you know, we're really suggesting for the most part to make the cash last year and a half or more. And the companies that are, you know, have runway for 3 to 6 months, you know, we're trying to help them extend runway and then figure out which ones of those companies that we can help support to stretch out their runway. Because on their own, like, I can't rely on other investors like saving the day in the next 90 days. Like I just don't have a lot of confidence that that's a likely scenario. So, And I think that's why a lot of these layoffs are going to happen is because, you know, CEOs are going to realize like, hey, there's not new money for my company. And so how do I make the balance sheet last longer? So I think in those three different categories, there's a lot of like, variance, but loosely speaking, that's kind of how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
May change next week. How about you?
Yeah. No, I think we've been very, I think, you know, John Callahan has been through.
Yeah, for sure.
For, you know, the previous two down cycles, like you have, and like I have, and he told our group of companies is that, you know, being panicked is probably the worst thing you can do, but being smart and cautious and agile is the number one thing a company can do. Yeah. I think there will be opportunities for a lot of companies which will emerge as a result of that. However, there is also going to be a lot of challenges. So I think but most of the thing, the number one thing, at least I've told some of the founders I get to work with is that, hey, you know, focus on controlling your own destiny more than anything else and take care of your people. And, you know, whether it's your family or your teams, I think this is a time for compassion, not being, you know, like being pretty brutal about this. Everybody is in the same boat.
Right.
No one asked for this, right?
Wasn't
like there's a lot of companies which are making bad decisions and they will use a coronavirus as an excuse to shut down the business, but there's a lot of great companies which are going to suffer for no fault of theirs, and there'll be a lot of people who bet on those companies who will suffer as well. So everything which needs to happen has to happen kindly more than anything else.
Yeah, that's really
I think
well
whether
said.
It's the communication, you got to have empathy for everybody's pain right now. You just cannot think of this as just a dollar and cents, you know, behavior. Unfortunately, our industry is a little bit, you know, short on empathy.
Yeah.
And I talk about technology. You know, you see it roll out on VC Twitter every day, you know, that lack of empathy and, you know, expertise on everything. I mean, that just is like, people, not this time, you know, you just got to shut up and listen.
Oh, my God. It's becoming even more heightened right now on VC Twitter. I mean, it used to be like a know-it-all about business. Now it's a know-it-all about science and medicine and public health.
I think the greatest modern disease is that we all think we are experts on everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we can just come to terms with the fact that I don't know, if you can say that, I don't know, that probably goes a long way in my books, at least.
Well, I think it comes from a place. I mean, if I'm just speculating here, but like, I think this know-it-all thing, I think it actually comes from like an earnest place where people are like, there's a curious mind who wants to be productive and move the ball forward and be hopeful. Like I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of narcissism out there. So like, I'm not trying to excuse weird behavior, but I think there's this like earnest feeling of either searching for hope or searching to like see something to hang your hat on or searching for like, you know, when like consumer VCs talking about like different medical treatments, you know, it's easy to like, you know, want to like get scream from the roof. But I do think there's something there that there's a good part of it, if that makes any sense. Like there is something in there, but it's coming out in a very perverted way.
I mean, I look at what we do, right, as investors. If you find the right founder, you give them the money, they know how to make that money grow, right? However, if you're one of those VCs who keeps interfering, that's not going to work out. And I think this is the same thing with wanting to do something. I think we should just enable people who know better and help them, give them the opportunities to excel. I think that's what, you know, we are good at as investors, as a society, as Silicon Valley, as a society. We are very good at finding people who can take an idea and run with it. And I think why wouldn't we apply that to, you know, the need of the hour, whether it is better logistics, better, you know, better science, better medicine, all those things. I mean, this morning I went for a walk like at 5 a.m. and, you know, it was a long walk, 2 hours. I came back home, I mean, and I was walking on the street and it was just absolutely empty. There was nothing. And I looked at that and I just said, like, you know what? Those delivery robots make a lot of sense right now, right? Like, I just think if 10 years, 20 years from now, if climate change makes it impossible for us to get out of our house, we will look back and think of this as, oh, wow, this was just a beta test for a reality which we will live in, right?
Yeah.
And so suddenly all those technologies, whether it is drone delivery, all the dystopian technologies start to make, okay, they can actually work.
Right.
So kind of trying to figure out how do you not get to a point where we have to, you know, like bet on dystopian technologies to survive as a race.
Right.
And I think a lot of this is where we should be thinking about how to do things better. And I think for me, that is And that is the big question right now.
Yeah. Did you take any photos this morning?
I did a couple of photos. Like, you know, it's like my kind of photography. It's really hard to do in an urban environment. So,
yeah, because you've got a tripod and you need time and you're taking your long exposures. But at 5 a.m, there's probably, well, on a normal day, there's not that many people out. Today, there was nobody, right?
Yeah.
But are you allowed in California to go somewhere? Like, are you allowed to just outside of getting some exercise? Like, are you permitted to go to, you know, Mount Tam and take some photos there if you wanted to, as a, you know, for your personal, whatever you want to call it, enjoyment?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not with somebody else.
Yeah, it's permitted. Those places are not closed off.
Yeah. I mean, I think the national parks and all are closed, but like, I mean, if I want to go to the beach, I can go to the beach.
You can go.
Except like in order to get there, right, I will have to, unfortunately, you know, use an Uber,
right,
or take the public transport, which is right, still running, surprisingly.
Wow. Is there anybody on it?
Yeah. Every time I see a train go by, a tram go by, there's like at least 6 to 8 people sitting in there. And I'm talking about 6 a.m. in the morning. I don't go after 7 o'clock. I'm home.
Yeah.
And then I'm home for most of the day. So
I haven't picked up my camera in a week, which is maybe the most, like the longest stretch that I can remember in all the while. And I just haven't had the headspace for it, but I'm determined to take it out tomorrow, maybe partly because of this conversation and partly because it's time, but I don't know, maybe I've just been just in a funk.
Are you at home or in like in your,
yeah, you know, I'm home.
You go away for during the summer to other places, right?
We have a Nantucket place, but now I'm home in the suburbs of Boston right now.
So you can go out and walk around and take photos?
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's suburbia, so, you know, maybe I can get my Todd Heido juju going and do suburban photos at night or something. But I mean, the state is shut down. I think we're basically operating like you all have been operating, which is like grocery store, pharmacy, no gatherings. But I think on your own, there's some flexibility or latitude is my sense. I haven't done it, but I need to. I've been getting outside. I've been going for walks and things, but for some reason I haven't picked up my camera. I did find out that my favorite photo lab is still up and running in LA. So
yeah.
I sent them some rolls from a previous trip and I got it back. I didn't even know they were still at work. So that makes me feel like, okay, well, I can keep shooting film.
Well, I think that's a good way of spending time for you, because I love your photographs. So hopefully you can pick up your camera and tell us what your neighborhood looks like when it's shut down. You know,
yeah,
that's what I'm chronicling right now. Just go out and I go out, take photographs. I mean, I can only go like in a radius of like a mile and a half. So it's kind of boring, but whatever, you know, I'm just dealing with it. I am thinking about like, you know, what if I can wear a mask, wear the gloves, you know, take all those cleaning wipes and, you know, rent one of those Lyft bikes and bike all the way to Ocean Beach, a lot of exercise, and at the same time, you know, get a chance to make some sunrise photos on the Ocean Beach.
Yeah.
But then coming back after that would be like, oh my God, how do I come back?
I know.
That's what I'm worried about.
You know, it would be a really interesting photo project also is like all these people that are working at the grocery stores and I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of stories there that should be told.
With a long lens. easier to do it with a long lens, right?
I know. You want to be safe from a public health standpoint and you protect yourself and everything, but it's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Man, we took a lot for granted, didn't we?
We did indeed. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes something like this to remind us of how good we have it. And
yeah. How's your family in India right now? Like, what's the mood and all that? Is it like perseverance? Is it dire? What's the sense?
So parents are locked down. There's a 3-week lockdown on the country. They have enough food and everything. So hopefully they will be okay. And I'm a little bit concerned because, you know, we can't really go. So all of us, me, my brother, my sister, everybody's freaked out a little bit, like how to deal with it. One of my sister-in-law's father is not well. And, you know, there's a lot of like stuff which is going on, which causes anxiety. But,
I get it.
As long as they're indoors, I hope, you know, because they don't have any other, you know, they don't have any help right now. Like, so they not have any interaction with the world outside. So, which is what is good. I just hope they don't kill each other.
Are they in good spirits?
Yeah. It's like, you know, they're okay. I just laugh because, that's parents, right? Like,
I know.
What can you do?
I know.
So, anyway. All right, boss. This was great. Right. I'm glad I caught up with you. And this is part of my occasional conversations with friends on Zoom and doing this as like a quick podcast, down and dirty.
All right. I think it's great. I was thinking about you, so I'm glad we did this. And, you know, let's not let too much time go by.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Take good care. Bye-bye.